Happy Sabbath for 2019. 2018, what type of year was it for you? Was it good? Some say yes, some say so-so. It was good? Do you remember anything about the year that really stands out in 2018?
Yep.
Do you? What do you remember?
I got a tiny house.
There you go. She got a tiny house. But you love that house, don't you? Anybody else remember something major that happened this year to them? Yes. Moved back to the area. That's good if you love this area. I love this area. Anybody else? Yes. What do you got to say? Or are you just waving hi? Well, you know what? I can't remember everything that happened to me this year. And how many people had a New Year's resolution last year? Anybody in here? Anybody in here? Nobody? You know better? Well, you know, I read over some New Year's resolution, and the number one resolution, what do you think the number one resolution is? What's that? Lose weight. Work out. Matter of fact, me and Yvette were at the gym the other night, and you could tell that it was their New Year's resolution because it was packed. Okay. But it's amazing. What do you think the second one was? What's that? Finances? Yeah, that was like three. I forget what two was. But I think finances was three. But it is always about, it seems like, losing weight or finances or something that makes you better, isn't it? I was surprised, being such a huge nation in Christ, that number one's not have a better relationship with Jesus Christ. I was surprised by that. I was surprised I could not find that in any survey for a New Year's resolution. Now, probably if I went to a Christian survey, yes. But I didn't go there for one reason. I wanted to know what our people all around us are thinking about. And most of them are thinking about losing weight. That actually happened to me this year. I had that resolution year after year after year. I'm going to change my diet. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And I looked at a picture one day of my granddaughters. I have two now. And I looked at a picture. I have them right on my desk where they keep filtering through. And sometimes I won't even work for a few minutes, because when my granddaughters pop up, I just got to look at them. And then one day I says, you know what? And I hate to say this, I'm 56 years old. Somebody I'm about to read about in just a few seconds died at the age of 56. And I thought, Lord, I got to start making changes in my life. And I said, how can I do it? I said, I struggle and I struggle and I struggle. You know what God put on my heart? You're going to have to be committed to losing that weight. Not just make the resolution, but become committed to losing that weight. And you know how I came to that commitment? Through my walk with Jesus Christ. That's how I became committed to losing weight. I don't know if y'all realize this, but I lost over 30 pounds over the past year. I went from 266. Well, actually, I've lost more than that because I'm at 226. So I've lost 40 pounds. But it was because of the commitment I got through Jesus Christ. He's my Lord, my Savior, and my very best friend. And so I was really shocked not to see that. But I'm going to read you something. I actually had this printed out. It's in my... It's actually in my briefcase, which is in my house, which is in a closet because Yvette hid it from me. So now I got to bring it up on the iPad, and I got to remember her mom's birthday to open it up, and I did it. And this one's labeled, and say I think the label's wrong, but I want you to tell me who this guy is after I read it to you. This is labeled the world's six best doctors. And now I got to start reading it. It says, this is my final essay. I reached the pinnacle of success in business world In some eyes, my life is, and Yvette, help me with that again. I keep struggling with that one word. The epitome of success. However, aside from work, I have little joy. In the end, my wealth is the only fact of life I am accustomed to. At this moment, lying on my bed and recalling my life, I realize that recognizing wealth that took so much pride had paled and become meaningless in the face of my death. You can employ someone to drive a car for you, make money for you, but you cannot have someone bear your sickness for you. Material things lost can be found or replaced, but there is no one thing that can ever be found when it's lost, and that is life. Whichever stage in life you're in right now, with time you will face the day when the curtain comes down. Treasure love, your family, love for your spouse, and love for your friends. Treat yourself well and cherish others. As we grow older, and hopefully wiser, we realize a $300 or a $30 watch both tell the same time. They both tell the same time. You will realize that your inner happiness does not come from material things of this world. Whether you fly first class or economy, if the plane goes down, you all go down. Therefore, I hope you realize when you have mates, buddies, and old friends, brothers and sisters, who you chat with, laugh with, talk with, and sing songs with, talk about north, south, east, and west, or heaven and earth, that is true happiness. Don't educate your children to be rich. Educate them to be happy. So when they grow up, they will know the value of things and not of price. Eat your food as your medicine. Otherwise, you will eat medicine as your food. The one who loves you will never leave you for another, because even if there are 100 reasons to give up, he or she will find a reason to hold on. There's a big difference between human being and being human. Only a few understand it. You are loved when you are born, and you are loved when you die. In between, you have to manage. The six best doctors in the world are sunlight, rest, exercise, diet, self-confidence, and friends. Maintain them all in all stages, enjoy a healthy life. Who do you think this person is? Steve Jobs. Have you read that before? Is there something missing in what I just read? Huh? He could have started off, the best doctor is Jesus Christ. Yet everything he listed is a creation of God. But that was his mentality. Is that your mentality today? Do you say you believe in God and you show up here at church, but then every day during the week, there's no evidence that you believe in God? I tell you, I have people, I don't even like Christians calling themselves Christians because they're judged by the world. If somebody asked me, Charles, are you a Christian? I said, I want to follow Jesus Christ, and I want to be Christ-like, and I want people to see Christ in me. So if you want to call me a Christian, it's a work in effect every day of my life. That's how I declare a Christian. Because I tell you, we have Christians at Dollar Tree. My goodness. If I was ever caught in something, I wouldn't want them to be my judge and jury. They're the worst. And that's a shame. In 2019, I think the biggest thing you need to change, whether you're in Christ or not in Christ, the biggest thing you need to change is your commitment to Jesus Christ. Die with him daily so he can lift you up. And now I'm going to have, since there's no children's church today, I'm going to have somebody else come up with me. Good friend of mine, he already knows, so you don't have to feel threatened. I said they don't have to feel threatened. You should feel threatened. You should feel threatened. So if you have your Bibles with you, you can turn to Mark chapter 10, verses 17. And we're going to start with verses 17. We're going to finish at verse 23. But I'm going to have David read, starting with verse 17. Just read the very first verse, David, if you would.
As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life?
Well, David, you know, you're a really good teacher.
Oh, thank you.
Well, I really do think you're a really good teacher. But have you ever had somebody run up to you and fall at their knees because you were such a great teacher?
Daily.
Daily?
No, I've never had that happen.
You never had that happen?
I deserve it, but it's never happened.
So, so David, when this guy ran up to Jesus and he fell at his knees, is this because this is the first time you think he ever heard him?
Probably not.
I would say probably not, too.
He had probably been following him and listening to him, and he was deeply touched by what he had heard.
So he had been listening to him for a while.
Yes.
A lot of us here attend church all our life. Okay, go ahead. Read the next verse.
Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone.
Continue on.
You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother.
Stop right there. Dave, why do you think he only read these commandments to this gentleman?
I think he was, well, I think he suspected or knew that the guy was doing that. Jesus was trying to sort of, in a nice way, set the guy up to make the point that Jesus ultimately wanted to make.
So if he knew that, then why didn't he read him the first and second commandment? And what is the first and second commandment?
Well, Jesus said the most important commandments are love God and love your neighbor. The first two commandments are have no other gods before God and don't make any idols.
Okay, so why didn't Jesus have him, why didn't he read those to him?
I suspect it was, well, the guy was a Jew, and if he was a practicing Jew, he's not going to have an idol, right?
He's not?
Well, not an image, not something he worships.
Okay, so let me ask you this. The disciples are standing there beside him, right?
Right.
And they're watching all this.
Right.
What is the disciples' opinion of rich people?
They're great.
They've
been blessed. They're rich because they're good, because God would not grant riches to a bad person.
Okay.
So if you're wealthy, it's because you've got God's favor and you're a good Jew.
Okay, person. So if, and that's the point, I'm glad you brought that up. If that's the way they felt, then wouldn't it be better for Jesus Christ to give them all the commandments? Let's continue on reading.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
A teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy. Jesus
looked. Stop right there. Do you think he kept all those as a boy?
I mean,
how many boys, I mean, today's times have changed, but now you do hear of young boys committing.
Yeah.
Human acts. I mean, not human acts, adult type acts, haven't you?
Yeah. I've represented some of them.
Okay. So yeah. Now, in today's time, it might not even match with a boy of that time. Do you agree or disagree?
Sure. The more I think about your earlier question, you know, the way that they defined a good life was someone who doesn't murder, doesn't commit adultery, doesn't steal, doesn't lie, doesn't defraud, and is good to their parents. Those are all very sort of good citizen, right? You cannot steal from somebody, but still want their stuff. You just don't steal because you know in Virginia it's a felony and you're going to get lit up and go to jail, and you don't want to go to jail.
But do you, now
right?
Jesus even
said before.
That
doesn't make you a good person.
Jesus even said before, if you even think on these acts, you've committed.
Yeah, see, Jesus took people deeper. He said, you've heard it said, don't kill, don't murder. But if you hate somebody, it's like you've murdered them in your heart. You've heard it said, don't commit adultery. But if you look at somebody lustfully, it's like you've already committed adultery in your heart. So Jesus was very much about going beyond the letter of the law to the spirit that underlie it.
Okay, so when Christopher and Adam walked in with those Seattle Seahawks jerseys,
I threw up in my mouth a little.
Okay.
In my mouth a little.
All right. So continue on. Verse 21.
Sorry, yeah. Jesus looked at him and loved him.
So explain that verse to me.
Well, you know, I'd actually never noticed that verse before. I think Jesus sees this guy who desperately wants some of what Jesus has been talking about, right? He heard Jesus maybe say the things we just said. He heard Jesus try to take people deeper. He heard Jesus, he saw Jesus act with compassion for people society had turned its back on. And he was drawn to it. And he approaches Jesus, and it's interesting. Falling on your knees, especially as a rich person in that culture, that's not something that would have happened. I mean, for him to do that publicly to Jesus was making a big statement that he's submitting to him. He's saying, help me, guide me. And so Jesus saw that, and he felt a deep amount of compassion for this guy.
So I'm glad you brought that up. I thought you would, too. So let's go back to the very first verse you read. It says, what must I do to inherit eternal life?
So this guy is thinking, in the Jewish faith, it was all very much a performance-driven faith. You do this, you don't do that, and you win God's favor if you keep all these laws. And so he's thinking, well, this stuff that Jesus is talking about, what do I have to do to get that? Well, I've been doing all this other stuff. In fact, I've been doing it since I was a little kid, but I don't have the experience that I see you living. So what do I have to do to get this thing that you've got? There's something I have to do.
So is there
that's his assumption.
Is there a misconcept in the Jewish faith, or is there a misconcept in who Jesus is?
I think there was a misconception in the Jewish faith. I think there's a misconception in Christianity today about who God is and how God operates.
Okay, explain that real quick.
So there are a lot of Christians who, am I preaching or are you preaching? Anyway, so this is not my week. Anyway, so
I didn't know he was coming up today either, but I knew David would bring some.
He does this kind of thing
out
to me all the time. So I think misconception, right?
You get off track a little bit every now.
Yeah, that's
to
okay.
To be a great teacher.
It's okay. So it says in 1 John, the reason the Son of Man came was to destroy the devil's work. What does that mean? We usually think Jesus came to die for our sins. It's not what 1 John says. It says the reason the Son of Man came was to destroy the devil's work. The devil's work is lying. Jesus said he is a liar and the father of lies. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for there is no truth in him. And the Jews believed a lot of lies about what God is like, and a lot of Christians believe a lot of lies about what God is like. And those lies that we believe hamper our ability to fully trust him. For example, I would not trust somebody who, if I make them angry, is going to burn me forever. I asked in Sabbath school class this morning, what's the worst crime you guys can think of? Murder. What would you say if a 20-year-old guy is tried and convicted for murder, and the judge imposed this sentence? We're going to torture him for 50 years. And we're going to have doctors keep him alive. And we can do that. You know, intelligence agencies can do that. They can keep you alive while they are hurting you. They can keep you conscious while they are hurting you. And we're going to do this to this murderer for 50 years. Would you say that was a just sentence? What would you say about a judge who would order that? What sort of person would do that? And yet most Christianity believes that if you don't meet God's standards at the end, God will burn you forever. In a human judge, we would say, well, that's horrible, that's terrible. I don't see how he could do that. Well, unkind is unkind, whether you're talking about humans or God. So, there are a lot of misconceptions about God, and maybe more in the context of this story, there's a misconception that we have to do something to earn God's approval.
Okay.
That we have to do something to earn God's acceptance.
So let's go back to verse 21 and start reading it again.
Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me."
Is there one thing that you lack with Jesus Christ today? Can you go to him on your own? So he's there for you each and every day. So what do you think the one thing that he lacked that Jesus was pointing out? He hasn't said it yet, but what do you think Jesus is thinking?
Well, I mean, his next statement says what the thing the guy doesn't want to
give
up.
So what do you think the disciples were thinking when he said there's one thing you lack?
That's a good question. The disciples are probably thinking, well, the guy doesn't seem to lack anything. I mean, obviously he's wealthy, so he must not be that bad. God's blessed him with all these material things. So the disciples are probably thinking, well, one thing he lacks, I don't get it.
I think John wanted to say something. Did you want to say something?
That's if you follow the worldly standard. Because if you love the things of the world, you have to cause enmity between you. While you don't have the Holy Father.
So I think what John's saying, if I'm correct, now correct me if I'm wrong, even the disciples had the wrong concept on what to follow, didn't they?
The disciples had a very flawed concept of God. Yeah.
Okay, so continue reading.
"One thing you lack," he said, "go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, then come follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth.
Now tell me, what did the rich ruler, what did he do wrong? What did he do wrong? What did he do wrong,
well,
Dave?
So...
Hold on. This out of that verse, what did he do wrong?
He left.
He walked away from Jesus, didn't he? How many people in this room have, during a hard time, turned away from Jesus Christ? Have you ever turned away from Jesus Christ during a hard time?
You know.
But you're not to turn away from Jesus Christ. That's when you did turn to him even more. That was his number one mistake, wasn't it?
Yeah, so I had never noticed that before. So, yeah, he turned away. So what should he have done?
So if he fell at his knees, David, because he was a good teacher.
Yeah.
And he heard something he didn't want to hear. Shouldn't he have fell again and said, "Give me more"?
Oh, so are you making the radical suggestion that if we encounter rough life circumstances, maybe life's beating us up pretty good?
That's right.
It's okay to ask God questions about that? Whoa. So you're saying that even if we're really hurt, like something really bad's happened, I don't mean it's just a little bad, it's really bad, and it's a devastating thing, that we can look up at the sky and cry, "God, how could you let this happen to me?" And God's not going to get angry about that?
Do you think he would?
I don't think he'd get angry at all.
I don't think so either.
So what this guy should have done is just ask more questions.
That's right.
Yeah.
He should have asked more questions, but he walked away. How many people walk away from a church because the church mistreated them, but yet they didn't go back to Christ to ask more questions? The church is, this place right here, if you're offended in this building by anyone in here, you don't walk away. You pray to Jesus Christ and say, "Look, Lord, I was hurt today. Tell me why and show me some reasons." Because you know the other person that hurt you, they are not where they should be either. We all are as what, Dave? Filthy rags.
Yeah.
Well, for sure of God's glory, unless we fall on him daily. And then read the very end.
Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words, which they would have been because they thought wealthy people had God's blessing. So what he's saying is runs counter to everything they've been taught.
So they right there. If we stop right there, and that's where I do actually want to stop with the reading. What does he have to do with the disciples to change their impression of what he wants?
Well, he has to He has to correct the way they think. He has to change their assumptions.
How is anyone in this room able to change what they think with Jesus Christ? What's that?
Reading the word,
but what else? Can you read a book, know everything about it, and still not be a good Christian?
Yes.
Okay, so what else is there to it?
So it has to be, Ellen White talked about an experiential religion, right? It's got to be something that we live. It's got to be active and vibrant. It's got to be something that you don't just leave it here in this building, but you take it out there into the community, and it becomes
part of you.
Yeah, it becomes. It's not something you put on and take off. It's who you are. You know, Paul says, pray without ceasing. Well, how do you do that? Can I tell a quick story?
Yep.
So, when.
I'm trying to take over my sermon, but go ahead.
Well, I kind of got dragged up here. Anyway, so when my daughter was a freshman at JMU, Chris French went up with Sophie and I for the parent weekend, right? And we're driving up to James Madison University. And Chris, I'm driving, of course, because she always makes me drive. And Chris is in the front seat and Sophie's in the back. And Chris and I are just talking and we're having a ball. And we're talking about just a bunch of different stuff. Just as we thought about something, we talk about it. And then that would lead to another thought and another topic. Maybe we'd see something. It was just a great conversation. Just kind of sharing thoughts and just sharing the trip. And suddenly my wife is in the back and she goes, would you guys just stop it? And I'm like, what? I mean, she was really ticked. I'm like, well, what do you mean? And what are we doing? And she said, you're talking about everything and nothing. You don't finish anything. You're bouncing from idea to idea to idea, and it's driving me crazy. Oh, okay. I've thought about that story since in the context of that scripture, because it was just everything that Chris and I were doing on that trip, we were sharing with each other. Everything we were thinking about, we were sharing with each other.
But you were sharing with each other because you have a relationship.
We had a relationship and a friendship, and so we're just kind of enjoying the trip, right? And it may have been in a way that my wife didn't get, and that's okay because my relationship with Chris is different than my relationship with Sophie. And so everybody's relationship with God is not necessarily going to look like everybody else's relationship with God because we're all wired differently.
Exactly right.
So I think that pray without ceasing doesn't mean you're walking everywhere like this, but it means that everything you encounter is something that is being shared with God. If you read the Psalms, oh my gosh, if David's happy, what does he do? Praise God. If he's sad, what does he do? God, help me. I'm in this low spot. If David's angry, what does he do? God, I didn't do anything to that guy. Would you please break his arm? He says that in some Psalms. But so everything in David's life went back to God.
So let me ask you this before I go back to Steve Jobs. So if you're the teacher and I'm one of your disciples and you've been teaching me, oh, don't get too glorified.
This is going to be fun.
If you've been teaching me well, shouldn't I, as one of your disciples, going after this rich ruler as he's walking away and say, look, you got to come back.
Yeah.
You got to come back. You can't walk away from Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you can't leave.
You can't leave. That's what I want to tell you today. No matter what's going on in your life, what's going on in the world, what's going on in your everyday life, I don't care what's going on, you cannot leave Jesus Christ. You cannot walk away. And if you're walking away, I hope there's another member or a family member or a church member pulling you back. And if we're not doing that as church members of this church, we're not following in Jesus Christ's word, are we? He wants us to be light in the area. And Dave, going back to your conversation with Chris, it's just a woman thing, because me and you could be talking on the phone when I'm coming home from basketball.
Yeah.
We could be talking 30, 40 minutes, and when I pull into the driveway, and Yvette says, so what did y'all talk about? Oh, we talk about this, that, and that, but not a whole lot of nothing. Man, you never tell me anything.
They just don't understand.
They don't get it. But sometimes we as Christians, Just like these verses say, we don't get it. But you know what? If we give it to Christ each and every day, he will give it to us.
Is it okay if I read one more verse?
One more.
That goes past a little bit?
Because after a while, I don't want to see them put you in a headlock up here.
No.
Go ahead.
Verse 27, the disciples heard this. They're like freaking out. They're like, well, if the rich guy's not good enough, this guy who God's blessing is not good enough, who could be saved? And Jesus says this in verse 27. He looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God.
So then they should have ran after the ruler, because it was possible.
If they would have understood. Peter later would have.
That's right. And see, that's what we have to understand, too. Even the disciples didn't get the full concept, did they? You might be struggling with life, everyday life. You go, you know what? I got a good job. You're almost going to sound like Steve Jobs. I got a good job. I got a good family. But I'm still not sure about things in my life. I'm going to tell you, if you're at that point, that being unassured, that's because you're not in the Word each and every day. Because if you're in the Word each and every day and you're turning over to Jesus Christ each and every day, you know what? Every day you're going to be sure. Every day you're going to be joyful, because that's what Jesus Christ gives you. Even in times of sorrow, you can have joy. Even in the times of sorrow, you can have joy, because you know this is not the end of the book. This is not the end of the book. You know, my mom and dad are passed away, and I miss them. But I know it's not the end. There's a great promise in that. Dave, if you want to say something else, I'm going to invite the praise and worship team to come back. I don't think I was too long today.
No.
You carried me over a little bit more than my time limit would have, but anyway.
Really? Okay. Well.
Maybe I have to rethink some of my thoughts about the sermon, but anyway. I appreciate it, Dave.
Prepare a table for you.
Force, and there's a play down the sideline, and Inky Johnson, he knocks his socks off this guy, knocks him out of bounds, and but he falls to the ground. But when he fell to the ground, you could tell it wasn't looking good. When his players got over there, come on, Inky, let's go. He goes, I can't. Come on, Inky, let's go. He goes, I can't move. 10 games left. Could have been mad at God. Lost all feeling in his right arm. He almost died that night. Had to go to emergency surgery because he had burst the artery. But he lost all feeling in his right arm, and his whole future changed. But man, if you go and listen to his story, he is positive for Jesus Christ. Resolution, a commitment in 2019, be committed to Jesus Christ. And if you make that commitment, everything in your life that needs to be worked on through Jesus Christ will work itself out, because he will do that for you and with you. But you have to make that commitment. Most of the time, I tell you, there's nothing you have to do, because his salvation is free to you. But you do have to become committed to him. And that's all you have to do. So in 2019, make one commitment that you're going to follow Jesus Christ, and your marriage will be better. Your work will get better. Everything you do will get better. And I'm going to tell you what, because I'm saying that, Satan is going to try to put roadblocks in your way. But you stay committed to Jesus Christ, and you can look back behind you. You can see those roadblocks that used to stand there. But you can understand that Jesus Christ is greater than the power of Satan. Jesus Christ destroyed his power at the cross. When he rose again, that power became your power. Just call on his name. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for bringing us to the year 2019. We thank you for every day of life that you give us. And Lord, I pray that each and every one of us today, as we get up, as we walk, as we breathe, we dedicate each and every day and each and every moment to you, our Lord, our Savior, and our very best friend. May 2019 be the year that we can see, because of a commitment to Jesus Christ, you changed our life forevermore. Be with each and every one gathered here today, with their family and their friends, and everyone they come in touch with. May they see the light of Jesus, because your light will shine through each and every one gathered here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go with God's blessings, and see you next week.